prepare for launching.
This is Drive Time Live with Mark Hahn on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. For a recap of today's biggest news stories, stocks, sports, weather, and more, here's Mark Hahn.
31 degrees right now, getting ready to ring in a new year. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari with me right now. Good to have you back on the show here on Drive Time Live, Colonel.
Very good. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Mark, and your listeners.
Absolutely. Making any New Year resolutions that you plan on breaking the day after tomorrow?
No, not really. just try to keep on moving forward and survive another day. That's all.
There you go. That's what the Army taught you, isn't it?
Yes.
Just keep moving forward no matter what. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari is my guest here. We're talking about, you are Iranian-born. How long have you been here in the United States?
We immigrated here after we escaped the Iranian Revolution when I was 10 years old. But those 10 years there were significant impact because you're living through a whole process of what's happening in the revolution on the street. And so it makes an impression on you. And then I came here, we settled in Chicago, I served 20-plus years in the U.S. Army Infantry and Special Operational Forces with combat time downrange. So.
And, you know, this is appropriate because when you left Iran, it was during the revolution. Now there is more of a revolution and unsettling things happening in Iran, but in particular, the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad and in Iraq that's going on, that Iran is behind. What kind of light can you shed on that?
Well, this is just nothing more than what Iran is trying to do and trying to get other major powers involved in Iraq. Iran has a pretty good hold on the Iraqi government. It's unfortunate. Because it's the job of the Iraqi government to protect the American embassy. And the fact that they're not taking those steps, given the fact that we spent trillions of dollars to allow the current parliament of Iraq to be existing still and operating as is. As you know, that the people of Iraq are fed up with the corruption and the abuses that were taking place against the populace. They took to the streets. A lot of them lost their lives. And because they just did not want to see the Iranian influence expand in Iraq. Unfortunately for us, there's a lot of politicians that sit in the government of Baghdad are very closely tied to Iran. And what is more of a bother for me is the fact that a number of those politicians throughout the years use their ability of being in political position to strike businesses and agreements with various different American companies at the detriment of U.S. policy within the region. So a lot of those folks get money that is here in the States. They are well employed as advisors to some key companies, even to some of the key news outlets and media that we have in the U.S. And this is how some of those individuals are kept on the payroll. So what bothers me is the fact that now they're being tested. And the test is we spend trillions of dollars on you, to include the fact that you have the possibility of, if Iraq ever implodes, for you to move your family and settle back into the United States in this country at the detriment of everybody in Iraq who is going to be left behind. So are you with us or are you against us? And this is where they have to finally prove to us that they're willing to work against Iran power in their region and finally do what is right for the people of Iraq.
Well, those pallets full of unmarked bills and cash that President Obama had flown into Iran certainly doesn't help the situation here. It certainly helped the Iranians, but it didn't help what's going on here. I think it more empowered them for spending that money on more just spreading the problems throughout the Middle East.
Well, look, it's been a sunk cost for them, regardless. Unfortunately, that the previous administration did that because a lot of that money is already gone. People in Iraq rose up against Iran. People in Lebanon rose up against Iran. And people in Iran have risen up against Iran. The fact that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization that was established in the mid-90s with China, being the lead in Russia, conducting joint operations now with Iran and the Gulf, trying to expand its footprint economically in Syria and also possibly even into Iraq in the future at the detriment of the United States is what Iran is counting on, trying to maybe take those joint exercises that were conducted just recently and try to somehow manifest them on the battlefield. But one thing Iran needs to understand that the current administration is not like the previous one. They will not pull out from the region and allow other players to come in. This administration will stand and fight. And if Iran should be worried about anything, the fact that U.S. from the Iraqi soil struck Iraqi targets that were Iran-aligned Hezbollah capabilities and militias. And if we can do that from Iraq against Iranian targets in Iraq and Syria, Iran should be worried that we can probably do that directly to targets in Iran. I would not like to see that escalation because that would be bad for everybody in the region because then you're seeing a much more broader proxy war with Russia, China, and all these other powers being engaged in a full-flung battlefield. So the next decade, the next 5 years, might be the most turbulent 5 years you'll ever find. At the end of the day, for us, especially the fact that we helped the Assyrian Christians in Iraq and Syria, the Assyrian Christians are going to be targeted, especially even in the Kurdish north areas of Erbil and Duhok, because when the enemy cannot get to our boys, American boys on the battlefield, they go out and get the easier target, which is the Christians of the Middle East, and they kill them because of it.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Would you like to take a call?
Yes.
All right. You're on the air with retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari.
Thank you, Mark. I just wondered if the if your guests would like to comment on U.S. meddling in Iran, starting with at least when they overthrew the democratically elected Mossadegh and then installed their puppet, the Shah, the recent revelations of David Rockefeller's meddling in Iran when he was a power in government behind the scenes, and then also his comments on why when Trump was clearly elected for at least one reason to get us out of those Middle East wars, why the military-industrial complex insists on keeping us in there.
All right. Thanks for your call. I'll hang up, sir, and let you listen. Colonel Slingard?
Yes. Look, we all know that the U.S. had a hand in what happened in the early Iranian politics.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what decades ago. The plan then was completely different. How the world economies operated were different, completely different. Unfortunately, what happens is, I always say, no decision is right or wrong. It's just a decision. But there are consequences to that. And I think what ended up happening is a consequence of what was done years ago is what you see today. Let's take a look at one of our stronger so-called allies in the region, the Sunni Muslim Kurds. Years ago, going back, the many powers courted them, thinking that these could be powers that could be used as a destabilizing factor in Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Iran. Of course, they did a wonderful job of being destabilizing factor, but the way they're used currently as internal proxies and how they completely fight against each other, they became a ability and a capability that we cannot rely on to stabilize the region. They're constantly tribal and they're always fighting each other. So no decision is right or wrong. It's just a decision, but these are the consequences of it. We are now trying to reset what the Sykes-Picot Agreement 100 years ago was about, which was a actual contract of how the Middle East had been divided. At that time, it was the French and the British. U.S. did not want to be part of that, but now, going in the future, U.S. and Russia have to come to an agreement on what the structure of that region is going to look like 100 years in the future. So because of the economics of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, how global economies are working today, how the East and the West are jockeying in this process to reset what the Middle East should look like, it's a reality that we have to be able to use some kind of a force structure. As far as a multi-complex is concerned, the future wars are not going to be fought with standing armies anymore. Everything that is being fought on the ground currently is being fought because of new technologies through proxies. So these proxies are the ones that are actually fighting on battlefield. Your U.S. military may not fight, but you still have to use U.S. taxpayer dollars to be able to fight these type of wars on the ground using new technologies and possible proxies.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangare, my guest, and we're running out of time here very quickly, Colonel, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. You know, I was going to talk to you a little bit about North Korea and their saber rattling that's been going on here, too, and we have less than a minute left. Can we quick get an idea of what, I mean, now we're on two fronts now, with not only the Iranians getting involved in Iraq and firebombing our embassy, but now North Korea. They said they were going to have a Christmas surprise, but they haven't done that yet. Where we stand on that?
North Korea is not that much of an issue for us, except for the fact that South Korea is not working with us. The current Moon administration has done everything in its power to pull South Korea into the hemisphere, in the sphere of China. He has gone against our security agreements with Japan. He has actually allowed bypasses of our sanctions through a liaison office that he established on the DMZ. He's fighting under this concept that is unification, but it's really surrendering South Korea to North Korea, and he's destroying the South Korean economy, okay. Which it did grow at 7% plus this past year, but it really has hampered their organization. Well, unfortunately,
out of time. Thank you, Colonel. I appreciate that. Love to talk to you a little bit more about that. Let's check in with Dennis Miller and the Miller Minute.
Are you worried about your mom or dad?